Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Pastor Blake Young, as he comes, honor the man of God.
Come on. Come on. Good morning. I need all my nations youth to make some noise one time, no? Come on. Come on. Let's go. Yeah. Okay. We're about to have some fun this morning. Just so you know, the oven's already been on. The food already smells good. And y'all got like them old grandmamas, like the kitchen, like the walls smell like all the good meals that have already happened. I just need you to know it's already been. God's been dishing this thing. It's already been happening. The food's already been coming out. God's already been changing lives. So you just came into something that God's already been doing. But let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you touch every heart and mind. Holy Spirit, I ask you to preach today as I speak. Bring up dreams, visions, words, names, faces. Communicate your truth today. Get us ready, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Come on, you may be seated. To everybody in the room, to all my family online right now, come on, Cambodia, what's up? I see you, Court. Let's go. I can't wait to see y'all one day and just hang out. This is dope. This is so cool, guys. Look at God. And I get to be the dude that, like, breaks this thing open. Let's go. Like the chocolate welcoming committee. Come on. Let's do this. Man, love y'all. Well, anyways, my name is Blake Young, as you probably heard a couple times. My amazing wife here in the purple jacket, you know what I'm saying? She's here rolling with me. I got three gorgeous little mocha latte daughters there eating up all your snacks in the kids program right now. See, we lived in Africa for 4 years, you know, and we just got back about 6 months ago. And so, you know, all those jokes where they'd be like, boy, you better eat your food because the hungry kids in Africa, you know what I'm saying? They're going to eat all that. I know those kids, you know what I'm saying? Three of them belong to me, so we appreciate a good meal, you know what I'm saying? Like, we love all that kind of stuff, but I bid you greetings from Kingdom City, Pastor Mark and Jemima, you know what I'm saying? They love y'all so much, and they released me to be here. And this is family. You know what I'm saying? This is family. You know, CC, Mark and Jim, that's like mom and dad to me. But this is like the cool auntie and uncle. You know what I'm saying? Like only you could pull off that shirt and make it look that good. I'm just saying. And with the little button down, too. I see you, bro. You better go ahead, Pastor Kent. You better go ahead. Looking good. Dang, I want to be like you when I grow up. I see you, man. I'm saying, man. Like, listen. If I could be any other race, I'd want to be Asian and just like this. I'm just saying. Like, if I had options, you know, I'm just saying. I'm having fun. But y'all got someone who's amazing. At ACC, you blessed me. What table are we sitting at? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so guys, I'm geeking out right now. And I want y'all to know I'm grateful because you need to remember who loved you and valued you before anybody knew you. And this house trusted me. Over 10 years ago. And so it's an honor and a privilege to be able to proclaim the truth of God's word this morning. And we got some business to do. I'm so mad at the devil. It's already January. And he's already tried to throw the first punch. So today something needs to be awakened on the inside of us to get ready. Guys, that 21 days of prayer and fasting, vision, everything that God is about to do, this building, every miracle that has been released, every prophetic word spoken over this house, how we posture ourselves right now means everything for what God can do in us. So I'm just here to get y'all ready. Y'all ready to go? Well, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. I'm reading from the NLT. And guys, this is probably one of the funniest, strangest parable stories in the Bible. Like, this thing cracks. I wish I could pay money to be a fly on the wall and witness this moment happen right here. Let's get into it. It says this. Then Elisha died and was buried. We're off to a great start. Like, that's just a sad way to start a verse right there. Then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Pause. It was like on schedule to raid and pillage. Like the Moabites would be having a team meeting and somebody would be, hey, George, have you seen the schedule? It's time for us to raid and pillage the children of Israel. Oh, okay, George, let's go and get that shield. And you know, like this was on schedule. Who the heck knows that it's a seasonal thing to go into raids? But if you understand spring, this was the beginning of the Hebrew year. This was seasonal. Matter of fact, we know in another story about a brother by the name of King David, and it says during the time when kings would go out to war, it says that David was kicking back at the palace, and because he was not in his season, he got caught up with a girl named Bathsheba. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to let you know there's a season of warfare, and it always starts right here at the beginning. See, how many of us have already given up on resolutions that you made at New Year's Eve? Like you ain't even made it 30 days and you already gave up? How many of us were planning on going deeper with God this year? Running a connect group, jumping into Nations College. How many of us were planning on stepping into new seasons and letting God do more, but maybe because of restrictions or seasons or fear or worry or concern or money or finance, you've already decided to pull back? See, it was the time of the beginning of the year when raids were scheduled and we already are witnessing a funeral. Then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Once, when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and fled. I got a question here. Elisha was kind of like a big deal. How did his corpse not have a door? Like, you ever wonder this? Like, how, like, could you just walk by? Oh, yeah, there's Elisha's bones right there. I can even see a left femur just hanging out. Like, was this just open? I have questions for the Hebrew people. How could they just chuck a body in and it just bounce on one of the greatest prophets they had ever seen? I got questions. Anybody got questions? I just wonder some things. Like, he didn't have a stone rolled on the front, like a placard, a door. Like, how did they just chuck in a body and it just lands on some of the holiest bones ever, okay? That's just a random question I got. I'm going to get back to the story. I don't know if you wonder that. I get distracted very easily. See, when I read the Bibles, like Disney, Pixar, and Tupac are just having a conversation in my mind, but that's just how the word of God just comes out, okay? So anyways, it's the beginning of the year. Moabite raiders are invading. Israelites are burying a guy. They see the raiders. They freak out. They throw in the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and they flee. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet. This is crazy, guys. But I feel like this is us. Some of you right now, and I felt it as I was praying for you guys. It's only the beginning of the year. It's your spring. The enemy's already tried to throw punches. He's already tried to fill us with fear and doubt and worry and resentment and anger and bitterness and concern. And some of us, we haven't even made it to Vision Weekend. And you're already carrying your dreams off to a grave. See, our amazing young people, they have been fired up, ready to go. Word and wonder, we about to bring the thunder. Word and wonder. So they are ready to go. So it is imperative for the fire that is inside of them to not be quenched by the apathy and concern and fears. Yeah. Mom and dad, this last session is for y'all because I need y'all to get ready to steward the miracle that God already did on the inside. I'm talking to somebody right now. I hope y'all get ready. But here's the goodness of God. And just like God, he would divinely use everything for his purpose and his plan. Let me let you in on a little secret. We know that Elijah preceded Elisha. Elisha as Elijah was ascending, asked for a double portion. We know this, right? Some of us heard this before. Well, scripture confirms in our Bible, Elijah did 14 recorded miracles. Here's the cool fun fact. Elisha, during his lifetime, only did 27. This miracle right here was miracle 28. This miracle right here was the completion of what Elisha had asked for and reached out for. Even after his death, God said, I'm not done. So the title of my message this morning is, I can feel it in my bones. Look at your neighbor and say, I can feel it in my bones. Say, I can feel it in my bones. See, there's destiny in your bones. There's miracles in your bones. There's purpose in your bones. There's plans in your bones. There's dreams and visions and new things that need to be birthed into life in your bones. Hear me, even though you may have let it go, it died, it decayed, it buried, ain't nothing but the bones left of the dreams that God spoke over your life, but God said, I'm not done with them. I can still use it. I can still bring life out of it. And isn't it interesting that God would do it at the beginning of the year as raiders are approaching, as fear is prevalent? This season seems like the exact ingredients for God to bring something back to life right now. I can feel it in my bones. A couple things I see in this passage. Number one, I feel like God has unfinished business and unclaimed generational blessing in you and your family line. See, I can feel this so strongly. We talk a lot about generational curses and breaking things off of us and walking in freedom, and I love that. But do you know there's generational blessing on your family line as well? There are gifting and talents and things that grandma and grandpa or some other relative or uncle had that runs in your family that was misstewarded in previous generations that God still wants to do in your life right now. Do you know there are things that run in your family that God wants to use and to establish? See, it doesn't surprise me that God used music and creativity as part of the expression of my life because it runs in my family. See, my grandma's the last surviving dancer of the original Moulin Rouge. She was a real Las Vegas showgirl. My dad, my biological father, right now works for Ralph Lauren. See, grandma on that side was a prostitute. Grandpa on this side was a pimp. Both of my grandfathers committed suicide because of drugs and alcohol, but influence and creativity ran through my family's blood, and there was a demonic agenda to destroy that from its root and to pervert that gift. And by the grace of God has used unfinished business from both sides of my family, and he's fulfilling things on the inside of me. So hear me, you might need to whip out ancestry.com, get out a yearbook, do something, and remind yourself of what God spoke over your family. There is something in your bones that God wants to wake up today. There's even things that he spoke over you as a young person. See, I had the privilege to talk to the teenagers on the night just before last. And I talked about, in all my years of counseling, one of the greatest conversation points I always have is adults, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, who come forward, ask for prayer, and they're reminded of the things God spoke to them at a youth camp. See, they just came back from a mountaintop moment. But you got to ask yourself, family, how many things did God speak over your life when you were their age? How many dreams and visions did you have that because of life we haven't walked into? See, God wants to stop some funerals right now because God's not done with everything he spoke over your life. See, the next thing I feel is that God wants to allow, he'll do it, interruptions to create opportunities. See, in this story, I am so grateful for those Moabite raiders. What if it had been a peaceful day? This dear brother would have been dead and buried. Think about it. See, they would have been like, man, Lord, can we just have no opposition? We're just trying to bury this person, Lord. Can you please just give us clear? Like, what if everything God is doing is to set you back on course? I'm so grateful for a storm and a big fish that got Jonah back on track to where he needed to go. See, I'm telling you, you live long enough and you'll be more grateful for the doors God closed than sometimes the ones he opened. And I need us to realize that maybe what you think is a no is a redirect to get you back to everything that God called and spoke over your life. See, y'all got to understand, for God to get me back on track, I ended up being arrested, lost a job, then I was robbed of the money from the very last paycheck. My ex-fiance dumped me just so God could get me back on track to go to Bible college. This literally all happened. Guys, I was an idiot. That's my qualification to actually be up here right now. But I was an idiot running away from the call of God on my life. See, when I was 12 years old, watching TV in my mother's bedroom, a preacher comes on the television. And now, I'm a kid from a divorced home. My dad left my mom when I was 3, put us out on the street. My mom then remarried an amazing man of God when I was 6. So I have 2 dysfunctional fathers, because I had my biological dad who loved me, but in his own broken way, because his dad killed himself when my dad was 16. So that's what he was dealing with. Then I've got my amazing stepdad, who's a man of God, stepped in, paid bills that needed to be paid, did things that needed to be done, but he struggled to love me and understand me because his dad, Grandpa, was a Baptist military minister. That's as uptight as you can get, Baptist and military. You know what I'm saying? Can I get an amen? Talk to me, somebody. Like, in the name of Jesus, and yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? And so my stepfather grew up in a home where love and the words, I love you, I never heard him, his dad say to him my entire life. So he struggled. So now I've got 2 dysfunctional fathers that are loving me as best they can, but it's difficult. And then I, in that process, get abused by family members. And I'm here watching TV at 12 years old, dysfunctional boy with double daddy issues, watching a TV screen, seeing a minister preach. And I look back at my mom and I say, Mom, with these hands, I'm going to touch millions of lives one day. Who says that at 12? But I did. And then I started to repeat it. Oh, I said, with these hands, with these hands, with these hands, in the presence of God hit that room. I started to weep and speak out in tongues. Didn't even know what I was doing. The presence of God came so thick. My mom, she gets hit by the presence of God. She's in the room. My stepdad had stepped out, and he stepped back in and ate carpet under the presence of God. We're all just there having this moment, and I'm crying out, screaming to God as I'm seeing faces on the wall, people that were hurting and in pain and broken. And I'm like, God, please let them see you love them. God, please let them see you care. God, please let them see. And God at that moment said, no, Blake, you let them see. But the thing was, like I said, that moment didn't protect me from ended up in a rehab 12 years later. So even I had a funeral for the call of God on my life. And God had to interrupt me. And opposition came my way. But it ended up, by his grace, resetting me back on track to get to where I was called to be. Then I met my amazing wife. Got a job. I was working at Guess in America, working at the corporate office. And I'm like, ooh, father's footsteps, dad's in fashion. Now I'm in fashion. And even then right there, I was like, yeah, cool. You know what, ministry, this whole music thing, now I'll leave it alone. I won't do it. I got a good job, I got good money, I'm just going to keep on going. And would you know it, a month before we had our wedding, I lost my job. But I'm so grateful for that divine interruption, because that opened up the door for me to come to a place called Perth, Western Australia. See, I was so dead set on putting to death the very thing God wanted to bring back to life. And I can feel it so heavily this morning. I can feel it in my bones that God is not done with some of you. There's some moms and dads in this room. Hear me, I'm proud of you. You paid bills. You did what you had to do. You took care of your kids. That is honorable. That's noble. That's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But maybe somewhere along the way, you lost a bit of that edge. You lost a little bit of that passion. You lost a bit of that burning fire for God. Some of you, literally, God spoke to this year. It's time to run a connect group. It's time to get into Bible college. It's time to go deep. It's time to start serving. serving, but then the pandemic, but then fear, and those masks have become muzzles that have hindered your praise and hindered your hunger and hindered your worship. And somehow we have started all over again in January 2022 to kill again the very thing God tried to bring back to life again. And so here I am right now just to get things ready, to get you open, to break off complacency, to break off fear, and to make sure that God has free reign to do what he wants to do in your life, because I can feel it in my bones. Is somebody getting blessed right now? I just want to know. Just come on, talk to me. Give me some feedback. Are you receiving it? Come on. Am I at church or a dental convention? I'm not sure. We need to remember more what God needs to bring back to life than focus on and get offended at the Moabite raiders that are at your front door. Because here's the thing, you always can't control Moab, but you can decide what you put to death. And there is an agenda, there is a demonic distraction that is happening in our world. Every time we flip on the news, every time we click on a channel, and I hear more and more people complaining about Moab than saying, God, what do you need me to keep alive? So remember, I'm talking, but the Holy Spirit's preaching right now. What is God asking you to bring back to life? What part of you is he asking you to revive? See, as the team joins me now, the last one I want to share is that God is ready to do unexpected miracles in unexpected places using unexpected situations. See, so often we get too caught up in the packaging. We miss the promise. We got to stay humble and take God out of the box we put him in. Who would have thought that in the middle of a raid, in the middle of a grave, was the place that God wanted to bring somebody back to life? Like, can you imagine that moment? Like, for that person, you wake up making out with Elisha's skeleton. You hear the clamoring of swords and shields and outside. You hear your friend, and you are here, like it's all happening at once. Like that brother would have had a story to tell that evening. Like, bruh, you would never, like, bruh, you know where I woke up last night? Like, hear me. I get it. But to some people, that would be considered insulting. Matter of fact, in Hebrew culture, that was unclean because that was a dead body. See, some of this, you could maybe blame on Moab. There's external opposition going on, I get it. And God wants to get our heart right and bring healing to you today. But some of this, we've actually been waiting on God to move, and he moved already. Who would have thought a manger, a feeding tray, would be the delivery vehicle for a Messiah? See, if you had been an Israelite under Roman oppression, dealing with the genocide of all your male babies, being forcibly taxed and oppressed for 400 years, you probably would have wanted a King David. You would have wanted a brave heart to come and bring you to freedom. And then, instead of a David king, you get some hipster dude on a donkey. You would have crucified him too. Because they knew what that donkey meant. A donkey symbolized peace, because Solomon rode in on a donkey on his first day in office. So everyone who saw Jesus that day saying he was the answer, but it would have been an immediate shot to the pride of everyone who wanted a warrior king. And this little boy from America that somehow ended up in Perth, Western Australia, is here to let you know that you cannot put God in a box. You need to open yourself up to the bigness of what he wants to do in your life. And I can feel, do you know there are Jews in Israel that are still to this day waiting for the Messiah because they refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the one? True story, they are still waiting. He came and left, and they're still waiting. And that can sound ludicrous to us in this room, but there are believers in this room that you're still waiting for something that God already gave you. What if the answer is you truly saying yes to nations today and making this your home, and not just attending, but actually committing to this as a house, going on that track, taking these steps? See, is it so impossible to believe that God could do a new thing in you, which is actually reviving the old thing he spoke over you? Like, could it actually be that today is the day? And even for all my mamas and grandmas and grandpapas, you know, retire just means four new tires, right? Today is a day to stop the funeral, because I can feel it in my bones that God is not done in you. And I'm saying this from experience, because in my pride and in my ego, I almost put what God was trying to do to death myself. See, when I first came to this church, I was a rapper. Now I have the privilege to be a minister of the gospel. But somewhere along the way, when God was fulfilling his word in me and it wasn't the way I thought, I almost wanted to jump ship. I wanted to chase a career instead of chase calling. I wanted to have my own little ministry and website and do my own thing and be in control of my own destiny instead of fully coming under the house and submitting and letting a mom and dad speak over me and shape me. And it turned out that what I thought was all of me is really now the smallest part. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. And today, I'm just here to break off some concrete that has been holding back your sensitivity, because we got to make sure every heart in this room is soft to receive the new vision, the new mantle, the new direction of whatever God is going to do in this place right now. Look at your neighbor and say, stop the funeral. So today, what has settled in you because of complacency? What have you tried to kill because of fear and failure? What are you running away from because you feel like you missed your window of opportunity? Today, God is ready to bring new life into you. And we've got to not let the enemy think that the punch he threw is it. We're going to look back at this season and be grateful for everything that God did here, because of what it forged and what it shaped on the inside of you. We're gonna thank God for all this season, all of this craziness, because of what it produced on the inside of us. But we cannot let ourselves grow cold or become fearful or become reserved or hold back, because God is ready to do something on the inside of you, and you're not done. You're not called to exist just to pay bills and show up and hear a great message and hear a nice TED talk and go home. God has called you to engage and to step forward and take bold steps and to take risks and to operate and move in everything he's called you to do. And if you feel like you are doing it, it's time to keep going. I can feel it. Some of you are on that edge where it's like, okay, Lord, I've been serving and I've been faithful. Maybe my season is done. Maybe it's time to take a break. Maybe it's time to let somebody else, but I can feel it in my bones that God is not done with you. Stop blaming it on a biological clock or a season or an age or being frustrated with what everybody else did and has all around you that you ain't got yet. I'm saying it because I know it and I feel it and I live it, that God is ready to do something different. Can you trust him today? So right now, we got to do business with God. And it's time for somebody in this room to receive salvation. It's time for us to get free. It's time for us to get healed and whole. And then everyone is going to have an opportunity to stop some funerals and to wake up some things. There's some words that God, remember, I'm talking, but he's preaching. And this whole time, God has been bringing up ideas and dreams and visions and words that were spoken over you when you were 13, 14, and 15. It's all coming back. I'm kicking up dust right now because God is about to do something in you. So here's what we're going to do. Out of respect for this moment, can we all bow our heads? Can we close our eyes? And the first thing I want to say is this: there is no safer place to say that I need Jesus than this house right here, right now. To everyone online that's watching, to everyone in Cambodia and Cork, I'm telling you, God is doing something. And if you will have faith and wake up that sensitivity once again, if you won't just rule yourself out of this message with that humility and hunger, God is about to speak right now. So for starters, maybe the thing that has had a funeral is actually you. Maybe this whole saying yes to God, receiving salvation, like you love God in theory, you've been coming to church, but maybe you've never fully let yourself say yes. Maybe you're new here and you're coming to pick up your young person, or maybe it's been a long time, and maybe once upon a time you once said yes to God, but life has happened and things have grown cold. Today, if you'd like to receive salvation, accept Jesus Christ into your life and repent of sin and be washed clean, this is a moment for you. But also, if you're here and you feel like it's been a while since God felt alive and on the inside of you, and today's a moment to recommit your life to God. See, couples renew their vows all the time. It's the first one's worked, but we realize that life happens, and sometimes we want to say yes afresh. We want to renew that commitment. We want to renew our love and our vow to God. I'm speaking to you as well. Today is a day of salvation. And the first thing God wants to do is stop the funeral in your spirit. So if that's you, and you know that you need to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or to recommit your life and renew your vow to God, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to be bold and brave in a second. And remember, I rebuke fear. The worst funeral you could do is reason yourself out of even responding because of fear of what other people are going to think. So every head is bowed, every eye is closed. And when I count to three, whether this is your first yes or maybe your renewal to God, I want you to be bold and respond. So ready? One, two, three. Right now, just lift that hand up. Lift that hand up right now. Respond. Thank you for that hand. I'm so proud of you. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Thank you for that hand. I'm so proud of you. Come on. Come on, God is moving in this place. God is moving. Who's going to join my friends right now? Come on. Thank you right there. Thank you right there. Come on. Come on. Who else? Who else? Remember, there's no fear. There's no fear in Jesus' name. This is a safe place. Here, you can put those hands down, but I know there's more. I know there's more. So I'm going to ask again. You're debating. It's in your mind. Like, should I? If there's a debate, just respond. So if that's you, to say yes to Jesus, or to recommit your life and love to God, if that's you, raise your hand right now. Let me see that hand. Come on, there's already faith in the room. So if that's you, come on. Thank you for that hand right there. Come on. Come on. Who else? Who else? Who else? Come on, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, I'm talking to you. The greatest thing you could do, the greatest gift you could give to these young people that are just coming back on fire, is to make sure your fire matches theirs. So come on. The worst thing we can do is act like we're okay when we're not. This is a hot, thank you for that hand right there. Come on. See, this is a hospital waiting room. God's the doctor. I'm just the nursing staff. And the worst thing you could do is leave this room and not get the medicine that you need. So once more, if you know that you need to get right with God, and you feel like there's a war to put your shoulder up, come on. I want you to be brave, and right now I want you to fight and respond right now. If that's you, lift your hand up. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day of salvation. This is the time to respond. Come on, if that's you, just don't fight it. Don't fight it. Listen to God. Listen to the Spirit of God. Come on, we're going to linger just a moment. God loves you so much. Is that another hand right there? Is that another one? Thank you, G. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Come on. Come on. This is how we get right. Thank you, God. I don't know who you are, but God loves you so much. Shikia Masata, I rebuke fear right now. I don't know who this is, but I feel like it's a husband. It's someone you got a lot of pressure on you. There's family, there's life, there's just the world is on your shoulders. The fact that you're even here today, I'm so proud of you. But God is asking, will you say yes to me? Will you give him a fresh start? The Lord, he loves you and he's calling you out. And this seems like, oh, well, what's the big deal about raising my hand? See, God just sometimes needs you to actually allow him in. See, he wants to move, but you've got to give him permission. So that this is not about a public show just for the sake of it, but this is about saying, God, I give you permission to move in my life. So once more, if you want to receive salvation for the first time or recommit your life to God, I don't know who you are, but just please, just trust God right now. Just lift that hand up. If that's you, just lift that hand up right now. Thank you so much. I could feel you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Awesome. Well, we're going to pray right now. And just repeat after me. And this is our moment where we reaffirm and where we commit our lives to God together. Let's say this. Can we say, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me and wash my sins away. So forgive me now. I repent and I turn back to you. Heal me and fill me and change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, can we celebrate? Can we celebrate? Come on. If you're in the room right now, or even if you're online and you responded, please let our team know. We can't wait to get in touch with you and do this journey with you. So if you raise your hand, some of our team, they're going to get in touch with you right after the service. We want to love you. We want to pray with you. We want to support you. We want you to leave this room with answers and not questions. This is a family journey. Psalm 68, 5 and 6 says that God places the lonely in families, that he releases the prisoners and they sing for joy. So come on right now. This was a family moment. Can we celebrate what God just did one more time? Awesome. Thank you, God. But now, it's time to do business with God. So here's what I want to do. I want you to stand to your feet. Because a lot of who I was talking to was actually for those who would already say they believe in God. It's honestly the children of God. It was the Israelites who were having the funeral. So right now, in this moment, I know the Holy Spirit was speaking to people. Old prophecies, words, dreams, visions, business ideas, hopes and prayers for your children. Things that have long died. God says, I'm not done with it. And you've been feeling it in your bones all service. So we're going to open up this altar right now. And if you felt the Holy Spirit move and convict you and touch you and bring something out of you today, I want you to come forward right now and we're going to pray and God is going to move and he's going to bring some things back to life. And we are going to see God reawaken every dream and goal and purpose that he has for this house. We will see this house touch nations and open doors and break barriers. So come on right now, just begin to respond. If you know that God wants to bring something back to life, if you know there was a calling, if God asked you to step forward or step out in faith and it's been a little bit scary, come on, hear me. If you want to stay in your seat, it's fine. But I want you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and begin to lift your hands up. If you know this applies to you, if you know that God wants to stop some funerals, if you feel like there's some redirections happening, I want you to respond right now. But we thank you, God, that he's doing a new thing, that here, forget the former things. We thank you for the new thing that God is about to do. Hear me, I even feel to say this. Sometimes the thing that holds you back is not even a bad thing, but it's the old good thing. Oh, I liked it when God used to move in that building. Oh, I love the revival at the Civic Center. No, no, no. But it's not the same like that tent meeting in 1997. Hear me. Sometimes we can make an idol out of the old move of God, and we miss the beauty of the new thing that he's doing. Some of y'all don't even like the new music that's coming from the teenagers because it's not your move. But hear me. God's doing a new move in this house right now. So come on. Right now, we are going to be a house that loves on our generations, that fights for our future. So hear me. If you've been struggling to see the new move or trying to wrap your head around it because it's not how you fell in love with God, I dare you to respond right now because God is waking some things up. So come on, let's worship right now and surrender him. Surrender it to him. Surrender it and let him bring it to life. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.